Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you want to join in the conversation this afternoon, the telephone lines are open. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would just bless the program, use the program, help us be able to point people to Christ, to the things that we talk about, Lord, as we think about this anniversary, this commemoration of the attacks on our nation 14 years ago on September 11, 2001. That'd be a day that we not only think about what it cost our country, but what it cost those people, those families that lost loved ones during those events, and it ought to be a reminder to us that, as the Bible says, life is a vapor. So, Father, we just pray that you would just encourage us, Lord, and help us point people to Christ, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today, and, September 11 really has become a rather somber holiday, and it is actually a holiday. It's called Patriot Day, and it was called that actually prior to the September 11 terrorist attacks in 2001, some 14 years ago. But it has become a somber day, and it's not really a day we celebrate, but it's a day that we remember, a day that we commemorate, and we remember what was going on there. And certainly we all, if you're old enough to remember the events, you remember probably where you are or were and what you were doing on that day. And a lot of people have been talking about it on the radio today and on the television and all, and it's important that we do that because we remember what is going on in the world around us and the fact that there is real evil in the world. I mean, we forget that sometimes. We forget that there's a spiritual battle, that's raging round about us. And that spiritual battle sometimes manifests itself in very profound ways in our world, and we can see it certainly on the events of those attacks on September 11, 2001, when a number of men acting under the influence of certainly a satanic religion, they were motivated in service to the false god of Allah to attack us here. And I don't want to get too much into all their motivation and everything, because I want to take this in a little bit different tack here today. And I want to focus a little bit more on the fact that there's about 2,753 people who were killed when these things took place. And there could have been a whole lot more. And when we think about it, a lot of these people that were getting on these airplanes that day, people who went to work in the Twin Towers, people who went to work at the Pentagon that day, they expected it was a day just like any other day. And no doubt, if you remember, most of the country that morning, I remember outside, beautiful, crystal clear blue skies, just absolutely gorgeous early September morning, and it really seemed like it was going to be a nice day. And I'm sure most of the people, as they took off in those airplanes or they were going to work in the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, like I said, thought that this day would be just an average, typical early September day. Didn't think anything much about it, and many of them, that was the last time in their life that they got on an airplane, that they went to work, because their lives were cut short through this terrorist attack. And when we think about it, probably not many of them thought when they left home that morning that this is the day that they were going to die. And I wanted to ask you that question today as we think about those events 14 years ago, that what if you had been there? What if you had been in one of those airplanes, or what if you had been in one of the Twin Towers or in the Pentagon in the area where those airplanes crashed? I know a lot of people survived at the Pentagon, certainly, and there are people who made it out of the Twin Towers, but there are a lot of people who didn't. And what if you had been one of those people? Would you have been ready to go out into eternity? Would you have been ready for death? Would you have been ready to face the Lord? And that's a question that I think that, we ought to think about on a day like today. Yes, we need to remember the evil that caused that, and the false satanic religion of Islam that people dedicated their lives and were willing to die for. And you think about it. They were willing to die for a false religion. Now, how many of us are ready to die, you know, when you think about it, for the right religion, you know, for Jesus Christ? And we think about how many people are willing to sacrifice themselves. You think of the first responders, the police and the firemen and the paramedics and stuff that rushed in, and many of them died when the buildings collapsed and things that happened there. But not even asking, are you willing to die for the Lord, but what happens if you died and faced the Lord? I mean, what if today was the last day of your life? You know, we live today in a world that sees terrorism as a constant threat, and we almost become numb to it. And I recall that when it happened, I remember from the things that I was able to see and be aware of when I was in the Air Force during the 1980s, we saw all these terror attacks in Europe and in Middle East and Northern Africa and even in other parts of the world. And we saw these things and well before 9/11 attacks, well before 2001, when the Berlin Wall had come down and the Soviet Union began to crumble and the Cold War was being pronounced as being over, I had told my wife that the next thing we were going to battle was going to be fundamentalist Islam, because it's a force that was out there in the world wanting to destroy us, and it was active, and it was kind of being held in check during the Cold War by the East and the West both, who kind of used these guys as pawns in their overall battle against each other. And of course, when the Soviet Union broke up, their hand was taken off from them, and of course then our country turned inward and began reducing the military significantly and things of that nature, and we took our hand off from them, and so now these jihadis were left on their own. They were left to do things that they were kind of hindered from doing in the past, although it didn't stop them from doing things by any means. There's a lot of things that took place during the 80s that most people probably never will be aware of in terms of terrorist attacks and attempted attacks. But the 9/11 attacks was so visible it couldn't be covered up, obviously. But what I'm getting at is, what if you had been there? What if that had been your day to go out into eternity? What would have happened to you? And I think it's something that we all need to ask. As a Christian, we should be able to have confidence knowing that our home is with the Lord. As Paul said, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. That's for a believer. But unfortunately, most of the world has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. They're going through life thinking that they're not such a bad person. They're going through life thinking, well, I belong to a church or some group, or, well, you know, Christianity, that's good for those people that believe it, but I don't need that crutch. It's there's nothing to it. Some people think, well, as long as you're not a really bad person, you should be okay. And they go through life thinking these things. And I want to read a passage over here in the book of James. And let me read here in James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, And starting verse 13, the Bible says this: "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanish away." Now think about that. We make our plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know, my wife got in the car today, and she was off to work and different things, and planning out her day, who she had to see today, and different things that she had to take care of. And I was making my plans to plan and coming up to the radio station and to do the program and listening to the news and trying to do some Bible reading this morning and different things. And we think about our plans for the day, and then we think, well, what are we going to do next week? You know, we're thinking a week from this weekend, actually a week from Sunday, our church is having its anniversary service, and you know, we're trying to plan out the food that we're going to have and different things that are going to take place on our church's anniversary service, and thinking about things with our family and just different plans for this and plans for that. But God says through James here in James chapter 4 and verse 14, "You know, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You know, we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen later today. We make our plans. We assume that certain things are going to happen, but we don't really know. He says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It was chilly last night, and I remember my wife and I had been out shopping. We came home, and I was getting some stuff out of the car, and in the light, you know, the porch light, when I breathed out, I could see my breath as a vapor, and it breathed out for a short time, and you could see that little puff of vapor, and then it just sort of dissipated, and it vanished away. It didn't last long. And you think about it, our life, in terms of human history, in terms of I guess about 6,000 years of human history, what is our life? You know, if you live to be 100 years old, what is that in light of 6,000 years of human history? I mean, it's nothing. It really is nothing. I was talking to somebody and said, you know, we get to heaven, and if you live to be 100, and we've been in heaven a few million years, and somebody says, well, I lived to be 100, and then somebody else says, well, I lived to be 50. In light of millions of years, what's 100 versus a 50? It's completely irrelevant. It's insignificant. It's nothing. And so even if you could live like some of the people in the Old Testament prior to the flood, where people lived routinely 600, 700, 800, 900, or almost 900 years old, and then we think of the time during the millennial reign of Christ, when it appears that people who are alive during the millennium will live during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. So even if you could live 1,000 years, what is that in relation to the trillions of years of eternity? And what I'm trying to say is, we're going to continue on in eternity, no matter how long this life lasts. We're going to continue on in eternity. But the question is, where are we going to spend it? Are we going to spend it in heaven with the Lord, or are we going to spend it someplace else? And unfortunately, the Bible only gives us one other place to spend eternity, and that's the lake of fire. And it's an eternal place, a place of fire, a place of torment, a place of pain and suffering. And it's a place where those that have rejected God are going to be condemned for all eternity. God doesn't want us to go there. And the fact of the matter is, He's done a lot to open our eyes so that we don't have to go there. Passages like I read there in James and elsewhere in the scriptures, events like 9/11, serve to show us that death could come at any time. We had a gentleman in our church, he was in the air on that day, and his airplane set down suddenly in St. Louis when they grounded the flights. And we know from after the fact that there was a number of other attacks planned that day. The first wave was in the eastern time zone. The second wave was going to be in the central time zone. And his flight set down in St. Louis. And when they started letting people off the plane, there was a group of young Middle Eastern men that hurriedly got off and took off. And in and of itself, that wouldn't be as suspicious, except for the fact that later on, there was an airline pilot, I can't remember her name, who wrote a book about 9/11, and she really got into some investigation on it, things that were going on, and she said there were a number of flights that set down where they had people that that took off, and one of them was in St. Louis, where some Middle Eastern Muslim men, they got off the plane hurriedly, and so this one gentleman in our church, he could have been on an airplane that he got on that morning, figuring he was going on about his business, and had the airplanes not been grounded suddenly, he could have been somebody whose life was cut short that day. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a very dangerous situation to be in when you face life, because the Bible says that we're condemned already in John chapter 3:18 because we have not put our faith in Christ as our Savior. And the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, we're sinners by nature. We don't become a sinner because we commit a certain amount of sins. We're a sinner by nature. John 3:18, as I started to say, it says, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we have to make an active decision to put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we need to call upon the name of the Lord. And it's only Jesus Christ that we can call on. Let me give you two verses here. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You're not going to get to heaven by any name other than Jesus. You're not going to get there through Buddha. You're not going to get there through Confucius or through Allah or through Muhammad or anything else. It's only through the name of Jesus. And this couldn't be any clearer here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We need to recognize that we have sinned. We need to recognize that the wages of sin is death. And we need to turn from our sin, and we need to turn from our way, whether we're trusting in religion or trusting in we're not such a bad person, or God is a God of love, and he's not going to send anybody to hell. No, we need to turn and realize, hey, I deserve hell. I deserve the lake of fire for all eternity because I'm a sinner. And I've not trusted Christ as my Savior. When we realize that Jesus Christ as God in the flesh came into this world, lived a perfect, holy life, and then willingly went to the cross where he suffered and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He died in our place. He tasted death for us. He was buried. He rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, as the scriptures teach us. And when we realize that and we call out to Jesus Christ by faith, and confess our sin, and we turn to him. That's what's called repentance, when we turn to him, and then we call upon the name of the Lord to save us. We trust him as our Savior, and our sins will be forgiven, and we'll have a home waiting for us for all eternity. Remember, our life is just as a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. If you had been on one of those airplanes or in the Twin Towers at Pentagon that morning, would you have gone to be with the Lord in heaven? Or would you have wound up in hell because you'd never trusted Christ as your Savior? You don't have to make a decision to reject him. You have to, according to John 3:18, make a decision to accept him. And let me encourage you to do so. We don't know when the next 9/11 style attack may come. We don't know when a sudden heart attack might occur, a sudden traffic accident might occur, any number of things that could cause us to die suddenly without expecting it. We need to be ready. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We don't know. We think, I got a long time. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You need to put your faith in Christ if you haven't. If we can be a help, I encourage you to visit us out at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out more information at our website, livewithpastoral.com, links to our church website, more information on the program there. We'd love to help you. There's other good churches that you can get involved with. Pastor excuse me, Pastor Lutz was just on before us in Lakewood North Coast Baptist Church. Pastor Andy Rusnacko is going to be on after us at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. Lots of good churches where you can know and find out how you can put your trust in Christ as your Savior and be saved and know that if something were to happen, you'd have a home waiting for you in heaven. Let me encourage you to do that if you haven't done that already. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy on the line. And Nancy, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I really appreciated you concentrating on 9/11 and then making people truly think about their eternal destiny, especially those that are not saved. That, you know, it's just a good time to reflect on that.
Yes.
And I just wanted to, and I've been saved since 1981, and I have to confess I was a little fearful, you know, after 9/11, you know, 2001. But I just wanted to share with the listeners a Bible verse that was my constant companion and helped me tremendously, and I just constantly, I memorized it, I kept saying it over and over, Joshua 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
That's a great verse. That was Joshua 1.
Joshua 1:9.
Joshua 1:9.
Yeah, I went through my concordance for all the references to fear. That was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It just tremendously helped me, and well, just thank you for this good documentary. And another one is, let me see, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7,
mm-hmm.
where God has not given us a spirit of fear, but
right.
of power and of love and a sound mind. So I say that quite often, too. Anytime
yes.
I'm afraid of something, I just remind myself. And, you know, the Word of God can be such a companion and a comfort, as you know. I know I'm preaching to the choir, you know, in times of fear, but if you just concentrate on His Word, you can just take away those feelings of fear and anxiety away. I know there's another good verse, be anxious for nothing. I don't know the reference, but that's a really
right,
good one too.
Right. Hey, okay. Nancy, I appreciate those verses. I've got several more people calling in, so
oh, I'm sorry.
I might cut you short a little bit right there, but I thank you for encouraging people to, you know, look to the Word of God, because there's
Amen.
Verses there that'll encourage us, and we remember that, you know, as Paul said in Ephesians 6, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood there in verse 12, and so we understand, as I said earlier, it's a spiritual battle, and God's
uh-huh.
with us, but
uh-huh.
I want to thank you for that, Nancy. I want to catch a couple callers
quick,
here real quick.
Eric Howard going to be at your anniversary?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
yes,
he
is.
I'm going to try to come. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for asking. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I believe we have Tom on the program. Welcome, Tom.
Hello, Pastor. Good show today. And,
well, thank you.
Yeah, it is sombering thoughts for a lot of people out there that never made a commitment to the Lord.
Right.
But also, you know, I'm sitting here listening and I'm thinking, we Christians, too, need to remember what God says, that our time is just as short, and even though we do
yes.
have a home in heaven, we need to get busy and remember that our time is short, too, and that, you know, the Bible says that we should learn to number our days and,
yeah.
and use them wisely.
He says redeeming the time.
Absolutely.
Even, yes.
But thank you very much for the wonderful thoughts today.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. And thank you. It's some good points that our callers had there about remembering the Scriptures, because, you know, God is a God of comfort, and there's a lot of comfort in the Scriptures. And when we put things in perspective, it can be overwhelming when we see events like September 11 or even other things. You know, there's we get worried when we see what's happening with the courts and with the, you know, the Congress and the president and all of that. And we get all worried, and we can get worked up over it and anxious and all of that. But then we remember, ultimately, God's in control, and He is going to wrap things up here eventually, and God will comfort us. And for believers, we need to take advantage of the time that we have. Because, you know, God put us in the world at this time. We're not here by accident. God put us here at this time. And as I sort of quoted the beginning of here in Ephesians chapter 6, let me read this a little more extensively in the few moments that we have left here. In Ephesians 6, verse number 10, it starts here. the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. This is what we read. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual places and our wickedness in high places." And then it goes on to talk about the armor of God. We need to remember, we need God on our side. If you're saved, trust God. If you're not saved, put your faith in God before it's too late. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.